Hey, what's up, everybody? So Sarah's back here. I hope you all are doing well. And it's May 2020. So in this podcast, I'm going to tell you a little bit of a story. It's a good story, so just kind of hang with me. And I just want you to sincerely just kind of understand what I'm talking about. And then I'm going to apply it to what you're doing with your marketing, okay? So I've alluded to this before on this show, but I have a special needs child, and about a week and a half ago, he was diagnosed with ADHD. This is the first, and I think there's going to be another diagnosis of perhaps autism. The doctors, many of them seem to believe that he is on the autism spectrum. However, and I hate functional categorizations, but they are characterizing his behavior as high functioning because he's verbal, independent, et cetera. So this is a little bit of a hard diagnosis to make, and I've had to really seek out the correct specialist because it's not a clear-cut case of autism. However, ADHD and autism are often comorbid, and that was another thing that was making this whole diagnosis process very difficult as well, because it's like you take it to one doctor, the doctor says it's ADHD, you take it to another doctor, the doctor says it's autism spectrum disorder. I hate the word disorder. In fact, I think my son is very much in order, if you knew him. But anyways, I'm going to get to that in a few minutes. So I speak openly about my child's differences because I think that this is somewhat of a taboo in our society, and there's a little bit of a stigma, I think, especially attached to ADHD. Many people don't believe that ADHD is a real neurological condition. They think it's made up. So I'm speaking about it not just to make a point about civil rights, but to talk about my role as his advocate, and I'm going to make a parallel between my role as my son's advocate and to what you are all doing with your marketing efforts. So, I mean, let me just go back about maybe like a year and a half ago when we started this whole process with the Department of Ed. I remember back to the first meeting, I was filling out the paperwork for his initial evaluations, and the psychologist is like, oh yeah, and here's the form for the pharmacy. And I'm like, but what do you mean? Like, this is an educational evaluation, right? We're gonna evaluate him cognitively. And the doctor's like, well, no, but that's in case he needs medicine. Medicine, funny. She's not a actual physician. She was like a psychologist. And so, I mean, I was just getting the impression right then and there, like, I mean, this is what you hear about all the time is people wanting to drug children that have ADHD. And that was definitely something that I had suspected was in the mix somewhere. And so I was like, wow, starting already. And by the way, I just want to be very clear. I'm not judging anybody who has made the decision to put their kid on ADHD drugs. I'm talking about this for myself. This is something I feel very strongly about. So doesn't Antonio. For a variety of reasons, I don't really feel I need to get into it, but I just want to say this is a decision that's made on a case-by-case basis, and it's a personal decision. So I'm not judging you if you've made a different decision or you feel strongly in the opposite direction than I do. But for me, you know, when the doctor says that, I was like, I mean, I knew right away that this was going to be a little bit of an issue because the schools even, different schools have implied and have insinuated to me that they would like me to put my son on these drugs as well. And I always tell them that they can throw that idea right in the trash can. So let me tell you something. I don't think God makes mistakes. I refuse to offend. I refuse to alter myself, my children, or anyone else physically or mentally. That's my take on it. I believe that we were all made in God's perfect image. And I don't care if my son has ADHD and is going to annoy everyone that he comes in contact with. I will not offend. Okay. So I just want to wonder though, I mean, how can we be comfortable as people if we don't respect the differences from one person to the next in the first 15 years of our life, in the formative years, at times when our thinking is influenced? How can we be educated in places that are supposed to teach us how to think and how to have an imagination and how to value creativity and differences and uniqueness and come up with something new and innovate? How in that place of learning can we abolish, can we extinguish, can we silence those who think differently? Right? And the minute a child thinks differently or behaves differently from anyone else, we want to squash him, right? So the whole thing has kind of just displayed to me how these schools were only designed for one kind of student. And I mean, I say this, I am a product of this same school system because, you know, I mean, how old am I now? When I'm in my 40s, I mean, I was in school 30, 35 years ago, right? 40 years ago, right? And I mean, yes, I did. I was an academic performer, but did I really feel like in certain circumstances, I mean, it wasn't great. Did I really feel like I was totally boosted up at every single point? No, I mean, there were times when I was a downright misfit, like at Harvard. I just think you should know. I mean, I don't know if you know or not, but I'm a good writer. I think I'm a good writer. A lot of other people do too. I've had tens, if not hundreds of thousands of views on some of my writings collectively and influenced so many people's lives in my blogs and podcasts and YouTube videos. And, you know, I hear from people all the time that I've done that. So, but yet this was, there was this remedial writing exam, the entrance exam to like the Harvard like writing class. And I remember I flunked the exam, and even at Harvard, you know, I felt like all the professors were kind of like, this, you don't fit. Like, she doesn't fit. She doesn't follow the format. She doesn't get it. In the meantime, here I am now. Right. So, I mean, schools really were only designed for one kind of student, and that's the student that I believe learns in one way. And everyone, you know, as much as the teachers, his current teachers, and no offense to them, I think they do a great job on limited resources, but his teachers are at a loss to understand how he's performing at grade level given his learning differences. And so I'm a little bit biased about it, but I think my son is very intelligent. And as his mother, as his advocate, I refuse to let someone else's opinion of the fact that he can't seem to sit still during song circle, my son is 4, be enough to put the light out, okay? They're not going to put my son's light out. And I mean, do you see the things that are happening here in the United States, like in our school system? The bullying, the school shootings, the depression, the suicide, the drugs. And you think that this kind of thinking, the intolerance, okay, doesn't have something to do with it? You think we can just tell kids for the first 18 years that they need to be the same as everyone else? Like some kind of uniform part produced in the Toyota factory. So, I mean, what do you think the results are going to be of that? And then you see these kids acting out. Are they acting out, or are they acting the part according to the script that we've written for them? And so, you know, I'm on a mission here to change the world. I'm here to change the world in numerous ways, right? Not to just make a buck from my business. I'm here to change the way that people think about things. And one of the things is, I mean, I've got quite a battle ahead of me, but I told my son, I said, look, we're going to change the world, you and I. It's not right, son, but we're going to make it right. And that light inside your brain that people tend to call different names, no one's going to put it out. In fact, it's going to light up the whole world one day, and I'm going to make it so. So you can just imagine my battles, and that's exactly what I'm going to talk about today. My journey to find the right people, as I am my son's advocate, to advocate for his success alongside me. And so just hang in with me here, financial advisors, because there's a point relevant to you, okay? To the battle has been to where, I mean, you know, I remember in the beginning of the year, it was pretty brutal. Like the teachers, and again, I'm not faulting them, and the school system and, you know, the administration of the school where he goes, really, you know, last year around this time, really were not that open to discussing or planning, or, you know, they kind of wanted to take it as it came, and they really did not want to put any advanced planning in place, even though, you know, I did discuss it with them. And so that was just kind of the first sign of like, you know what, you really are not dealing with the correct people. No offense to them. Anyone who's listening to this, like if you're on that team that has been making these decisions, like no offense to you, but I got to admit, I just don't think I have the right people. It's a serious problem. Some people are going to be equipped and some people are not going to be equipped. Okay. So I've set out to find the right people, and it's been a journey and a battle for me. Like, I mean, I take them to doctors. I mean, I've already been to, I think I went to two doctors, and it was this whole thing because these appointments aren't easy to get. You know, there's waiting lists, and then the insurance company is battling with you, and yeah, you know, you got to wait for like 6 months, and they call you once, and if you're not there, they move on to the next person on the list, right? So, I mean, I've taken them to two doctors. One of them, we were getting close to a diagnosis, and then the doctor mysteriously quit the practice and put the case to another person that just had to pick it up from there and had no clue. And it was just this, I feel they kind of fell down on the job. The other one was maybe like not a specialist in, like I mentioned, like the types of disorder, or again, see there, I just used that word, the kinds of, you know, conditions that are present, you know, with my son. So it got to the point where I just said to myself, there's somebody else out there. You know, I kind of felt like I was just kind of journeying through the wilderness here. And that's how I feel a lot. But I had to just look at it and say, if I have to turn the city of New York upside down, I'm going to save my son. I'm not going to let him be lost. There's somebody out there. And his success is going to be a direct correlation with my success in doing that. So when you approach it from that angle, and the angle was over my dead body, am I going to allow this to happen anymore? And I'm going to find the person that's going to enable us to be successful. When you look at it from that point of view, your actions take on an entirely different meaning, because you learn to size up pretty quickly who's the one that's going to be on your wavelength and who's not going to be. And then you just become relentless. So what I did was I just sat down with a list. And I said, all right, I'm going to go get 20 people. If it takes me getting 20 people, I'm going to get 20 people. I'm going to get 20 people that are going to support what I'm trying to do. And if someone doesn't belong on the list, I'm going to get them off the list, and I'm going to get someone else to be there in the place. And so I started with, you know, maybe a camp counselor that he had a few years ago, and a good babysitter that he has that really gets him. And I was asking around for, you know, I need a lawyer, because I actually, this may get legal. You know, I may actually have to sue the system. It's not suing like suing for damages type suing, but it's suing because the way that it works here in New York is that if your kid needs to be in a special kind of school, like, you know, a school that was created for these kind of different types of learners, then because it's not probably going to be a plain old public school, or maybe even your traditional private school. It's probably going to have to be a specialized private school. Then you have to sue the Department of Education. But I mean, this is like so far down the line, right? But I did have to contact an attorney, because at a very basic level, when you get to the point that you're advocating so hard, you really have to know your rights, and you have to just make sure that you're not overlooking anything, because trust me, the Department of Education is never going to bring it up that you could have gotten, that you had the right to something that you didn't advocate for. So I had to contact a lawyer. I contacted numerous psychologists, because I have to get an independent evaluation outside of the work that the school has done. I've had to contact educational advocates. I've contacted other parents in the area, you know, who also have children with different needs. I've had to contact, what's another one? My son's pediatrician, for example, is on the list. So I don't actually even think I have 20 people at this point, but the point is that the list, it seems to have been working, because I'm getting, not only do I have this diagnosis that's one's underway and the other one's already done, but I mean, we're getting help, and we're getting great help. And I'm happy to say that this weekend, you know, we were doing some work together, and I'm definitely noticing that the behaviors are definitely improving. And then there's also, there's been an improvement in his academic performance, because, as you know, we're in tele-learning. I discussed that on the last podcast in a kind of humorous way. Teleteaching is tough, to have to be the mother and, you know, run my business and teleteach at the same time. But I mean, there are differences now that I can see that he's improving. He's really improving as a result of everything that we've done. We're just getting started. So that's what I want to say to all of you that are out there and maybe having a little bit of trouble, or are stalled, or in a place where you're not sure what action to take. And I always, and for example, in my membership program that I have, we start with the list of 20. You've got to get 20 people on a list. And look, this is not sophisticated. This is not like how to game the YouTube algorithm, right? Like this is not technical. This is basic common sense kind of stuff. Okay. Get 20 people on a list, and if they're not the right person, then get somebody else. Okay. They could be prospects. They could be centers of influence. If you're trying to expand your business, I get it. You have to get qualified prospects into the pipeline. But in order to get to those people, you need to make sure that you're getting the attention of the right people. And who do I mean, right? I mean vendors, centers of influence. And this could be anything from, I mean, get creative with it. I know you all want the CPAs and the estate attorneys, right? But have you ever thought about like your personal realtor? I mean, I'm sure that many of you listening to this have leased or bought a home, or leased or bought an apartment, or numerous ones. So why don't you go back and talk to every single realtor and just kind of figure out what they're up to, who they're working with. If they're working with successful, educated people like you, there's probably a little bit of influence there over people like you, right? Interior decorators. I mean, I could be wrong, but I mean, if you're going to get the person who has enough money to hire an interior decorator, I don't know that they're doing too shabby, right? Like I was mentioning, psychologists, very overlooked. Everyone wants to go for the divorce attorney, but think about all the aspects of divorce, and this is not to harp on divorce, but the kind of person that that helps people like this in any capacity. Like you could talk to, like what the term they use is doula, right? The doula is the person that is not a, like a midwife, but a doula is actually someone in the delivery room that when a woman has a baby, kind of like a birth coach, I think, but you know, a doula, right? Like doula is not cheap. And, you know, someone who's having a child is definitely in a life transition. So why not start up some conversations with those kinds of folks? Did you use any kind of a birth coach when you or when your significant other had a child? Commercial insurance vendors. I mean, we all have commercial insurance, right? So are you doing business with any kind of like one particular agent? How much have you been in touch with that person? You think that they don't have access to businesses in transition? And it could be anything from like hairdressers, babysitters, anyone that's exchanged money with you is probably a little bit closer to you than the average person in your circle. And they are, because an exchange of money is an exchange of something of value. And so I'm not saying don't include some of your personal contacts on your list that aren't vendors to you or your vendors to them. But there's something to be said for that. There's a trust that's there between you and that person. Both ways, really, right? And so I think that that should be valued and it's often overlooked. So how about some of your company's vendors? I mean, what about your IT person? What about, you know, I mean, who's managing your, if you're outsourcing to a TAMP? Have you ever thought that your TAMP might know something about, who knows, people in their personal networks or other financial advisors that maybe might have some kind of needs or, you know, possible deals? Who sold your company its software, any kind of software? I've talked before about those random COIs that everyone forgets about, like the wedding planners and the personal trainers. Get them on the list. It matters less what they do, and it matters who they are and what they think of you. Because, you know, within certain circles, I mean, birds of a feather, right? But there's always somebody with money. There just has to be. There has to be some kind of a qualified prospect somewhere along the line. I mean, how many of you listening to this in your personal networks know someone with a net worth of over $5 million, $10 million? I do. I'm sure you do too, right? So it's like we waste so much time on trying to qualify and this and that. It's like, why don't you just work on strengthening? Why don't you work on quality instead of qualify? Just a little bit and see where that takes you. I mean, and then there's the standard, like any unsold prospect. I mean, really, are you keeping track of the people that you're talking to? Because anyone that's had a conversation with you for whatever reason, it can, unless they've told you, put me on the do not call list and never ever contact me again, the relationship can be resurrected. Needs change. You just never know. Any past client that left you, old clients are a great source of leads. And it's possible they're not going to be the ones to come back, but you never know who they may be able to refer. Even if they hate your guts, even if they hate your guts right now. I mean, I wouldn't put too much time into that one, but you just never know when if their perspective could have changed either, right? You know, the COI who keeps not sending you business for that one, and I know there's a lot of those COIs on your list of 20, I suggest that you look, take a good hard look at the relationship, make a few good attempts, and then get them off the list and stop sending them business. Find somebody else better to send business to, all right? Like I don't understand why financial advisors consistently send business to vendors who just would never reciprocate. Oh, they're awesome at what they do. Find someone else awesome. Okay. How about your clients' kids? This is very overlooked. Get them on a list. It could just be, and they don't have to become your client right away, but what about just developing the relationship and, you know, making yourself more familiar to them so that you know what is in their sphere. Try it. Your client's kids. Oh, I don't feel comfortable approaching somebody 20 years younger than me. Then get a millennial intern. Okay. Or get a kid, like get your kids involved. Who says that your kids can't contact? I mean, you'd have to, you know, preserve confidentiality, et cetera. Right. And you'd have to get permission, et cetera. But if your client's kids are more comfortable talking with one of your own kids, then I mean, with due, you know, propriety, right? Why not get that relationship going? The other thing is, think about local businesses that you use and appreciate, like the Lexus dealership. They'll remember you. Get them on the list. Five local businesses that you use every day. The little coffee shop where you buy your coffee. Why don't you have a conversation with the person? Just be like, look, I come in here every day and I buy my coffee from you, but I don't think we've ever had a conversation about what I do. Oh, they're not qualified, really? Whose Maserati's parked out in the back, right? Here's an interesting one. Five people who keep sending you annoying email newsletters. Like me, for example. I'm sure a lot of you are on my newsletter list. Why would I say this one? Well, if someone's sending you an annoying email newsletter, and we all get these, right? And I myself, right? I'm sure a lot of you think my newsletter is annoying, but at least someone with an annoying newsletter knows how to market and get through to people. At least they knew how to get your attention. And if they got your attention, they're probably getting someone else's attention. Otherwise, why would they keep sending this newsletter? I mean, look, it's kind of weird reasoning, but you see my point, right? So go to your email inbox and just start, hey, that person's on LinkedIn. Let me send him a connection message. Just be like, look, you know, I don't think I'm a buyer of your services at this point, but I really respect how you market yourself. And I'd love to have a conversation about how we could help each other. Try that, right? How about social media influencers? These people, I mean, like some people may consider me an influencer. Why not just reach out to them? A lot of these people are very approachable. And especially if you're following them, it's kind of flattering to them. And if you feel like, if you know the person well, because you're like Jocko, right? The Jocko podcast. I love the Jocko podcast. I love his YouTube videos. Like I would love it. Jocko, if you're listening to this, like I would love to have Jocko like be on my podcast and be like his kind of business friend, you know? But it's great. You know, a lot of these people have really large followings and they're clearly visible and, oh, well, they're too successful for me. It's like, I mean, get some nerve up. You know what I'm saying? Like go watch the Top Gun movie, like 5 times in a row, you know what I'm saying? And like get all charged up or do something, get inspired. But sometimes I find that, you know, I mean, I'm not going to like name drop or be like, oh, like I'm so cool. I'm cool. I'm friends with like all the really successful people, but I have known some really successful people and have had some of like one in particular, even as a guest, like in the beginning of this podcast. And when I started this show up and like, I mean, I've just found that a lot of times successful people, a lot of them can be like really humble and just will, you know, a lot of them are just really clear thinkers and really interesting people to talk to. Some of them are very deep and that's how they got to where they are. So if you present to them something interesting, I mean, you got to give them something to latch on to when you're going kind of for the top, but put some thought into it. But you should be putting thought into this anyways, because the last thing that somebody wants is to be approached by some financial advisor looking for a handout with nothing new to say. I mean, look, if you're going to go in looking for a handout, at least have an interesting thing to say about it, right? Be like, look, I'm having this webinar and it's about the Secure Act and every slide in the webinar will be in the color purple. Purple is my daughter's favorite color. So that's kind of my motif if you see my website. But anyways, I mean, I mean, it's a kind of out there idea, but look, it beats going in like everybody else, doesn't it? And lastly, get 5 reporters on the list. Be an advocate for them. I mean, by the way, some of these reporters, if they're successful, may actually be qualified prospects. Be, you know, kind of an advocate for these reporters and just, you know, the reporters. I mean, same thing as these social media influencers, like these reporters that you follow, that you know every article that they write and stuff. Like, just be like, look, I love your writing and I would love to have you on my webinar because I feel that a lot of my content may maybe fill in some of the gaps in your knowledge or may be able to inspire you and help you think of future ideas. Be like that. Reporters love that. Reporters hate the person that's going to them pushing the same old story or has no idea and really is not in it for anything other than to get them or their client's name in the press. They hate the headline chasers, but reporters love people who are sincere and want to be advocates and want to develop a relationship that's mutually beneficial. Reporters love that, right? Get a few reporters on the list. Like just maybe your local, one of your few local reporters, just be like, look, I want to take you out for coffee sometime because I just want to tell you that I really have enjoyed your work and I'd like to get to know you better. Who knows if I may have a story idea for you or if what I do could be relevant to your audience, but I would just love to be a supporter of, you know, you professionally and I would like to buy you coffee sometime. Nobody says that. Like your local Gazette reporter, okay? Talk to the reporter. Worst thing that can happen is that they say no. And, or, I mean, the reporter, they're probably just not even going to answer because they're so busy and they're on deadlines a lot of times. And I mean, look, I'm not knocking reporters. I have, you know, several reporters that I have very good relationships with, not knocking them for it. But I'm just saying the worst thing that's going to happen, the reporter's just not going to answer. Or they're going to say no. Who cares? You have to get used to no if you want to be successful, right? Get 20 people on a list, y'all. 20 good people. If you got 20 people that you're looking to enlist, either centers of influence or prospects, because you're trying to get something done, that's a great place to start. For those of you that are looking, saying this isn't working, or I'm at a standstill, or, you know, it's like there's so much underestimation of the amount of effort it takes. I mean, you know, I remember when I started the year with the teachers and it was like, they thought I was like the biggest, well, who knows what they thought, but I'm sure that they, even to this day, think like, she's so in your face. And I mean, because I was like, you know, I had a case to make in the beginning of the year and I've made that case throughout. And has it made their job easier? Yes, because I've gotten my son help and it's made their jobs easier. So it's gotten to the point where even despite my in-your-faceness, I think we've gotten to the point where they really respect me. And so you have to kind of get over that. Like, what if people think I'm too in their face? Good. Then let them think that you're too in their face. Right. I mean, are you being in their face without a valid reason for it? If you feel that's what I'm saying here is like, you've got to get to the point where you're like, okay, I'm going to turn this town upside down. I'm going to turn the town upside down, right? And that's how I feel about my battle, is that I do not care what I have to go through. I do not care who's looking, who's giving me bad looks, who's ignoring my emails. You can ignore my email. I'm going to keep emailing until I get the answer, okay? That's how you're going to be. You're going to be like, someone, hey, stop emailing me. Why are you emailing me so much? Well, because I didn't get an answer. I'm sorry. I feel really strongly about this. Mr. and Mrs. CPA, Mr. and Mrs. Hairdresser, Mr. and Mrs. Lexus dealer owner, Mr. or Mrs. YouTuber, Mr. and Mrs. Podcaster, Mr. and Mrs. Reporter for the Wall Street Journal. I'm sorry, but I feel so strongly about what this webinar is going to do for you. What is this webinar is going to do for your clients? I feel so strongly about how this webinar could possibly impact your life that I really want to make the point and I really do not want it to be overlooked. I would like you to be on the webinar. It's Tuesday at 3 p.m. Where should I send the dial-in information? Take charge, y'all. people respect it. At first, yeah, the looks people were giving me and the, I mean, and even now they send these little kind of like comments, but you know what? They respect it. They respect it because they know that I'm not going to be broken. See, and people see that. And when they see it, it's like, it's almost like it's so rare that it's going to inspire them. Try it and you'll see. I realize I'm telling you all this stuff and you're probably sitting there saying, oh, here's Grillo gone on another tirade about her kids, blah, blah, blah. You got four kids. I mean, yeah, look, because it's, you know, I always wanted to have four kids. I remember when I was in, you know, younger, I always wanted to be a mom and, you know, I had a few, you know, came close to getting married a few times and then I didn't. And, you know, but I always wanted to be a mother. And so I kind of feel like I felt I was called to have four kids. I feel that what I'm going through now is a calling. And so it's just kind of naturally what I talk about. I mean, what is it for you? Right. And that's another thing, right? It's like, I used to be a financial advisor. I'm not anymore because I didn't feel I was called. I feel like what I'm doing now, being a writer, being an influencer, like that is what I feel I was called to do. But just revisit that. So when you're getting the people on this list, you got to get the people that you feel that you're being called, that you feel you're being called to. Like, don't just get someone on the list to have somebody on the list, right? Get somebody on the list that you feel like, you know, if I had this person on my side, if I had this person on my team, if I had this person as a client, if I was working with this person, right? Would that get me closer to what I feel I should be doing with my life? Would that bring it into alignment? Does this jive with everything? Like, does this make sense in terms of the person that I can fulfill my, I can live it out. Like I can fulfill my meaning with, right? Because it's not just like, oh, well, we're going to do a bunch of stuff and we're going to manage the accounts and we're going to do a financial plan. It's like, I mean, let's look at it from a meaning perspective. Okay. Like, you know, but the way that people think, you got to look for people that kind of think like you and people that will respect what your mission is. No, that they'll get it, that they'll see the same, that they're on some kind of a mission too. Think about it, right? Like when I'm putting my list together, I'm looking at, well, what does this person really want to get out of their job that they're doing before I hire this lawyer, before I hire this educational advocate, before I hire this psychologist? I mean, there was one psychologist I went to that, I mean, I went to so many of them that wanted to charge me so much money for all these tests. I went to one and she's like, this, you know, he's only four. I think these tests are kind of BS and I think we should just do this and it'll cost you this, right? And I'm not saying I went with her because she was a lot less money. I went with her because of the way that she thought about things that was so different and kind of like me, like really direct. And, you know, then there was this other, like this lawyer that I'm contacting is like, she's a bad one like me, like she's a bad, like she's so fierce. I was like, man, I got to know her. Like I got to, if there's a lawyer, I'm going to get this lawyer, right? Like she's the one. And there's just such alignment in the people that I'm bringing in, that I'm choosing to bring into my, I wouldn't call it a business, but my like pursuit here, you know, with into my calling. Because like to some extent, the way that they do their work, the way that they go about their lives, the way that they think, like to some extent, they're calling me. Like I'm calling them and they're calling me. So I realized this was all kind of like deep, maybe a little bit personal, but like I said, I mean, I see on social media right now, especially like on TikTok, there's a bunch of like very derogatory comments going around about like, it's called like the, you know, hashtag autism challenge, where there's a bunch of people on TikTok. I know y'all, you know, I know what y'all think of TikTok, but just have it be said that there is a little bit of cyberbullying going around right now directed towards autistic people on TikTok. So, and again, like I have no diagnosis of autism at this point for my child, but I just want to say, regardless of whether or not he's diagnosed, I just want to say still that, you know, there's a lot of ignorance out there about this. And so, you know, maybe that has a little bit to do with it, but again, like, you know, people not respecting differences. So I, you know, I guess in this podcast, I talked a lot. I talked about being an advocate. I talked about, you know, I've talked about differences, and I talked about, but most of all, I talked about getting 20 people on the list. The ones that, that you're calling are the ones that are calling you, and find out who those people are, listen for the call and act on it. Get 20 people on a list and go forth and follow what you feel you need to do to change the world. Let me know if you need my opinion on anything that you're doing as you go about this. Thanks for listening, everybody.